Hello, Salop fans, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Shrews Views podcast here at the Shropshire Star. My name is Johnny Dreary, and as always, I am alongside Salop correspondent for the Star, Mr. Ollie Westbury. After a disappointing defeat for Salop, as things get ever more perilous at the bottom of League One. Oh, how are you, mate? Good to see you again, as always, on this fine Monday morning.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you, pal?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. I'm better than Paul Hurst and Shrewsbury at the moment, because a defeat on Saturday has left the table still looking pretty worrying for Salop, with the sides below them with games in hand. And we'll come on to all that and talk about the very, very big run of fixtures that's coming up.
But can we do a podcast this about something else?
We can't, I'm afraid, mate.
I don't want to talk. I feel too flat about it. I feel flat after Saturday.
It's the reality of the situation. A 2-0 defeat at home to Blackpool for Salop, second defeat of the week. All not a great week, if we're perfectly honest. We reflected on last week's defeat on the podcast, the midweek defeat. But in terms of Saturday, just didn't get going, really, did it?
No, I was convinced after the Lincoln game that they would like come out firing. I was absolutely convinced. I just thought that, but it just never happened. I don't like the lack of effort thing. I don't feel like there's any lack of effort from these players. I feel like that's a really, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just, is it a bit of a lazy criticism to just like accuse them of not putting the effort in? I don't feel like I'm seeing players not trying. A lack of quality, I mean, perhaps, and maybe at times on Saturday there was a lack of ideas and how to score, but I don't see a group of footballers there that are not trying and are not giving their all. It felt like it was a boring game. It was a dull game. There was very, very few chances. I wrote a match report on Saturday with barely anything in it apart from two goals, and that was the same for both sides. And don't forget, obviously, Blackpool only scored their second in the 86th, 87th minute. So it was a game where two defensive mistakes, cost Town from getting a point. But I think with one clean sheet in 16, which is probably a talking point, you know, if they're not going to offer that threat, there's always a chance that they're going to ship one in at the other end. So it was disappointing. They were nowhere near as bad as they were against Lincoln. But I wrote in my piece, in my newsletter comment this morning, that the only thing that's consistent about Shrewsbury is that they are predictably inconsistent. And you just don't know what you're going to get from them from one day to the next. So you kind of turn up against Reading thinking, we're going to struggle here. Although Reading have got their off-field issues, but, you know, they have got some decent players, and they take a 2-0 lead within 5 minutes and score three brilliant goals and win the game. I thought in comfortable fashion. I didn't think that Reading ever really looked like scoring. To then turn out whatever that showing was at Lincoln, which was pretty awful, and the players knew it was pretty awful. To then go to a kind of, I think the way I describe Saturday's performance was a bit of a meh performance. I can't think of we're back in the adjective territory of trying to find the words to describe how Shrewsbury played on Saturday. And you know, they just didn't, it was a bit of a throwback to the Matt Taylor days, in honesty, where they just didn't look like they were ever going to score. And apart from maybe the odd set piece, and yeah, it was, I don't know, it was a tough day at the office. Blackpool undoubtedly are a good side and they've got good players, but you know, I feel like we've played Blackpool twice and we've never laid a glove on them, and that's just a bit depressing, really.
Like, talk about that clean sheet record there, like that is pretty startling. You know, in terms of, you mentioned there, the goals come from mistakes. I suppose, is that the main frustration for Paul Hurst? You know, you can set your side up all week to frustrate, but you can't really legislate it for, you know, individual defensive mistakes, and they could be very, very costly come the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, nobody means to make a mistake, do they? So, you know, and to be fair, Morgan Feeney, who kind of headed the ball, it was just a long punt forward, and he headed the ball almost like behind himself. And he was on press post-match, and he's pretty much said, like, I hold my hands up. It was my error for the first goal. And in a game as important as, like, as tight as that, that first goal does make a big difference. But, like, he's not meant to do that. It's, you know, he's not trying to do that. It's a mistake. And then Tamisi Subawali's probably not alert enough to deal with the threat from Coulson down the side behind him. And he's, like, kind of switched off, and Coulson gets in behind him, gets to the byline, pulls it back to Dembele, and he kind of finishes it. So, yeah, I mean, that was a pretty, it was a soft, I think Morgan Feeney actually described it as soft, and that is exactly what it was. It was just like a goal from nothing. There was no quality or guile or creativity that Blackpool needed to show to kind of carve Town open. It was almost just like, it was too easy. It was too easy. I didn't really, it's hard to notice at first, because obviously as a journalist working on a football game, you spend a lot of time in your head and your laptop and you're typing. So I kind of, at first, I didn't really see where it came from. But obviously when you watch the goal back, it doesn't look pretty at all, in fairness. So fair play to Feeney for coming out and holding his hands up. A lot of the players talk about, you know, Feeney's leadership qualities. But yeah, and then the second goal, I mean, I don't understand how, you know, a 5'5" bloke can have a free header on the edge of your 6-yard box. I don't know whose man that was supposed to be, but there was too much of a gap between the centre halves, and it was Dembele again. but, you know, it was really disappointing, I suppose. Really disappointing way for Shrewsbury to concede 2 goals. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, that the last one, all it did was pretty much confirm the result. I don't think Shrewsbury would have scored anyway. But yeah, it was a disappointing day at the office. And Town never really managed to build up that head of steam. And when you're making defensive mistakes and you're not looking like scoring, that's a problem. And yeah, not good. Not good.
Was there any positives to take from Saturday, or was it a case of just, you know, writing it off and moving on?
No, I can't think of any. No. That's bad, isn't it? I can't really think of anything from other results, maybe. Perhaps the fact that the results haven't hurt us too much, the fact that Reading won, maybe. But other sides around us drew, teams below us lost. Yeah, that's probably the only saving grace. And obviously Cheltenham got a point, didn't they? They drew against Burton. But that's probably the only saving grace, is that the results, a couple of defeats and a couple of poor performances, haven't cost us too much in terms of league position. However, for the first time, it is actually out of our hands. So, I mean, it's not really, is it? But if Cheltenham were to win, if everyone was to win their next 10 games, you know, Cheltenham, because they've got 2 games in hand, will go above us, which will put Shrewsbury into 21st place. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough, isn't it? I didn't feel as though Town were as bad as perhaps from just, it's only an opinion and football's all about opinions, but I was looking at some of the reaction on Twitter, and I didn't think they were as bad as perhaps what some of the, only my opinion, but what some of the reactions suggested. I didn't think they were good either. I just thought it was a poor game. I think it's perhaps the overall general apathy towards the club and kind of how the season has turned out to be like this that perhaps builds on frustrations, which, to be honest, I can completely understand. But, you know, just watching it from a neutral perspective and looking at that game, you know, the only difference between the two sides was 2 mistakes and goals out of almost nothing, really.
Could the return of Daniel Udo be a, you know, obviously a positive? You need players like that in this running and this key run of fixtures coming out. As we know, he's been ill all week. Came back in, obviously didn't have a lot, great deal of service, not a great deal of chances, but he's going to be key, isn't he, in these next few games?
Yeah. I don't know what Dan Udo is supposed to do though. I mean, the ball very rarely got played up to him. It kind of, yeah. When we got the ball, we looked like we had a lack of ideas. I know we changed formation and it didn't really work. To be fair, we went to a back three, which Paul Hurst has been kind of talking about. But it just didn't seem to quite work out how. And I'm not sure whether I think that was something to do with the change to the back three was, I think, more to do with their concerns for Blackpool's threats than it was for Shrewsbury, which, you know, obviously Paul Hurst knows a lot more about football than I do. So they would have made that decision. But it didn't quite work. And Shrewsbury's attacking threat looked like, well, it looked like what their attacking threat's like when they played a back three this season. They didn't really look like they knew what to do with it. I'm not sure whether that's just coincidental or whether it's because they've gone back to that formation. But yeah, it just looked a little bit, it just looked lacking ideas. Which, to be fair, considering they've made so much progress under Hurst, did come as a bit of a surprise because they have really, you know, kind of shook that off. That goal threat. I felt like they've shook that off. But last two games. I'd kind of dread to think what their XG was in the last two games. It's been really poor.
Just one point you mentioned on the back three. Was the back three a switch following the, you know, the news on Aaron Pierre, or is this, you know, a tactical move, or, you know, because obviously the three is what we've seen a lot of the time under Matt Taylor prior to his arrival.
I don't know. I think it, well, I only know what Hurst said kind of post match, and he kind of talked a lot about Blackpool's threats and trying to cope with Blackpool's threats. So, I mean, if it was the loss of Aaron Pierre for why they'd gone to a back three, then I would have expected them to have done that at Lincoln on Tuesday night, which they didn't. They played a back four at Lincoln. They played a back four for the last 60 minutes at Reading after he went off. So, yeah. There's some logic to it. I don't understand the exact reasons behind the matchups and stuff. That's stuff the coaches will do in detail when they're looking at opposition and watching other teams and how they think that size will hurt you. But no, it felt like, it just didn't quite work. And I would probably say it's perhaps coincidental that was the case, but yeah, it was just a tough afternoon in general, Johnny, to be honest. It was a tough one.
Tough one to take indeed. Shout out to our sponsor here at ShopStart and all our podcasts at the ShopStart and Express and Start, Kettle and Toaster Man. Got some fantastic products. Head to the kettleandtoasterman.co.uk. Ollie, we've got one question in, and it's a question that we've had about 90 million times this season, and it is about a player that isn't a Shrewsbury player, but fans want him to be a Shrewsbury player. But what's going on? Jack Price is what the question is about. What's going on with Jack Price? Will he ever play for Salop or not? That's come from Follow the Town. I'll leave this one to you, Ollie. We've had it a number of times. We've batted it away a number of times. Is there any change or, you know, what's the
not
situation?
Not that I know. I mean, he's injured. Obviously, he's a Shrewsbury lad, isn't he? Will he play for Shrewsbury at some point in the future? Perhaps, maybe. I don't know. He's currently not fit. So, I mean, there's 10 games left. He's not fit. They run out of time to register him in a couple of weeks. So if you're not registered in a few weeks, then, then you can't play. So, I mean, personally, I don't know. I mean, I've asked Paul Hurst about free agents and he said no. So unless they are kind of, I don't know, trying not to get the hopes up, or, you know, but I've asked him about free agents a number of times. I asked him if the change to the Max Matter loan meant that it changed the dynamic around whether there was more free agents or not. And he said not. So, you know, we'll see, I suppose. So from what Hurst said to me, I don't expect to see Jack Price. I don't. That's only from what he said, though. Like, you know, managers don't always, and I'm not trying to, you know, say that they lie to you, but they don't always tell you, lay all their cards out straight away on the table. So you never know. He might just be kind of setting expectations. So, you know, we've seen cases in the past where managers have said things to journalists and then other things have happened. But I don't know. I'm not particularly hopeful. I'm not particularly sure what difference it will make, to be completely honest with you. There's 10 games left. I mean, probably by the time you get somewhere near match fit, the season will be over anyway. I'm not overly convinced by what the point is at this stage now. I mean, it's March. You know, by you know, 2 weeks, there'll only be 7 games left. And it's like, well, I'm not sure, you know, what the point is go that stage. So, yeah, I mean, you never want to rule anything out because you know that things in football change quickly. If Town were to get a bad injury in midfield, maybe that they might consider it. But yeah, it's not one that I'm particularly expecting or particularly hopeful of happening anytime soon. And to be fair, it's gone quiet on it. To be fair, I've not heard a lot. We have been asked this question several times, haven't we? I think that the club would like to sign Jack Price. I think it's a question of finances and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, not sure on that one. And I'm very, very reluctant to say it's not happening in case it does, because I'd look pretty stupid if that's the case.
Yeah, there you go, Stella fans. So that answers your question. Oh, we're just going to spend a little bit of time before the end of the podcast talking about this mini three-game run, because it feels like Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday is going to be the biggest three games, arguably, of the season so far. Salop go to Port Vale on Saturday. Exeter come to the Crowd Meadow on the 12th of March. And then on the 16th of March, it's Basement Boys, Carlisle. All sides, two below, one above them, and quite a few places above them, but obviously the points are tight. Let's talk about Port Vale, because this is massive. Port Vale 22nd. Rotten run under Darren Moore. They've got two games in hand on Salop. Salop are 6 points ahead. They have to win this game, don't they? They have to win this game.
Shrewsbury, you're talking about. Shrewsbury have to win. Yeah. I don't know. I was talking to somebody this morning about it. Somebody who knows a lot more about football than me, and he said he wasn't sure if Shrewsbury might be happy with a point because it keeps their 6 point gap intact. I don't know. I'm not. I would have thought that if they win this, then they pretty much go. They pretty much kind of distance themselves from being overtaken by Port Vale, don't they? What, 9 points with 9 games left? They need to win 3, and Shrewsbury need to lose 3. To be fair, Shrewsbury losing 3. I mean, there's probably every chance of that, but. I would say that a win will go such a long way into kind of giving Shrewsbury their League One survival. It's a huge game against Port Vale, who are obviously in horrific form. It's also a bit of a derby as well, isn't it? So it's one of those games. Yeah, massive game. I'm looking forward to it, and then obviously there's a couple of big games following that. Pretty gutted, but I won't be at the midweek game against Exeter or against that game against Carlisle either. I'm off on a holiday for a week, so I've not timed that particularly well, because it's perhaps the biggest game of Shrewsbury season, biggest couple of games of Shrewsbury season. But Port Vale will be the one that I'm at, and then I won't be at those two, which is a real shame, because it feels like they are massive games given the context of the season.
The Exeter one, you know, that's what is that one? You know, a side above them, is that one where Paul Hurst might take a point in that one?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think all those teams are rubbish, aren't they? There's a reason that they're down there and they're not doing very well. When there was a stage in the season where Shrewsbury and Exeter were, I think when we went down to Exeter for the nil-nil draw earlier in the season, where both teams were on an absolute rotten run of form. Exeter have managed to turn it round. I don't know what the exact points difference is. I just get the league table up and have a look. But I know that
Exeter on 40, Sharper on 38, so it's relatively tight.
And to be honest, like one win for Shrewsbury, could take them up to 15th. And it brings all those teams in and around them. And obviously, the team I'd be concerned for is Cambridge. Cambridge, I mean, they look like they're struggling at the moment. Obviously, their manager's just gone at perhaps the most awful time of the season to go. Their best player's been suspended for 3 or 4 games, hasn't he, for elbowing someone. So, I mean, I did think that Lyle Taylor would score them the goals that they needed to keep them up, but obviously their form, losing four on the bounce, is not ideal at all. So you suppose you get to the stage now where you have to start thinking about run-ins and the games that oppositions are playing, and who you think's got an easier run-in. Obviously Town have got to go to Charlton. So yeah, there's games in there that Town can win. That's for sure. But we keep saying that, don't we? But at the end of the day, they've got to start producing the goods, haven't they? Because it's been too long since they got consistent results. And that's why they find themselves in the predicament. After 36 games, you are where you deserve. After 10 games, you can be a little bit unlucky, but after this many games, you end up being where you deserve to be. So Shrewsbury need to make sure they can try and turn it around now in this little section before the end of the season.
Yeah, they certainly do. And then the one after that is Carlisle, the basement side. That's one where you've really got to be looking for 3 points. Obviously,
Yeah,
managed by
Morgan
former
Feeney.
South boss
Yeah,
Paul Simpson. Obviously, the Morgan Feeney link as well. They're on a rotten run,
Morgan Feeney
1-5.
Derby. Yeah. Yeah. They lost to Reading, didn't they, on Saturday? They are doomed, aren't they? Carlisle. Obviously, Morgan Feeney gets on particularly well with Paul Simpson after the kind of incident. But obviously, they've only won 5 games all season, haven't they? Carlisle, and obviously one of those was that game earlier in the season. I think they beat us 2-0. A game where Towns didn't quite turn up the way that the way that you'd want them to. So yeah, Shrewsbury need to beat them. I think probably the games that you look at are probably being easier are the one Port Vale and Carlisle, two sides in the bottom four, huge games. Shrewsbury's away form has improved since Paul Hurst came in, but it's a pretty damning stat, isn't it? They haven't won at home since New Year's Day. When they beat Fleetwood. So, they've been so good at home for so long this season, and that was the one kind of glimmer of hope, the one ray of light that felt like we could cling to, was that Town are good at home and they win their home games. But they're not doing that at the moment, and that's probably just as much of a concerning factor, I would suggest. It's not ideal. They need to win the home games. Paul Hurst was talking a lot on Saturday about it's true, playing at the Meadow is a good place to play because the fans don't get on your back. So, Town will need to, with two massive home games coming up, they need to get over this home form voodoo. To be fair, when you ask Paul Hurst, he doesn't really believe in home and away games. He believes it's a football pitch and not so bothered by the psychology of it all, and just thinks that you should just get on and do your job. But interesting nonetheless. Because Town not winning at home for so long, a few worrying trends and a few worrying stats knocking about, which we could do with them shaking off and pulling away.
I'm going to ask you 2 questions to finish the podcast. What is the minimum points requirement from these 3 games? That's the first one.
That's a good question, that is, Johnny. The minimum.
Minimum points requirement.
I think they've got to go unbeaten. So, and they've got to win one. So I would say the minimum is five.
What do you think they'll get?
I think we'll probably lose one.
Yeah.
I would have said So I would have said the minimum is five, but I imagine they might get four.
So you think they'll get four?
Yeah, I think they need more than that, but I think they'll pick up four. We just got to hope that. I think, I don't know, they're leaking goals, aren't they? And they're not free scoring. They're not, you know, I can't see us winning a game 3-2. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, you know, it's only my opinion, but we've not, obviously, we beat Reading 3-2 twice, but we've not been free scoring. We've got the worst, is it the worst goal difference in the division? Only Carlisle's goal difference is worse than ours. So, you know, we've not scored a great deal of goals. And we're letting them in, and that is the thing. It's if Paul Hurst can tighten up the defence, that's the biggest thing for me. If you can tighten that up, then I can see us like surviving, no problem. But if we can't, obviously since he's come in, we've kept one clean sheet. That was on his first game. And if you can't stop the ball going in your net and you don't score that much, I mean, it's a bit of a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Obviously conceded five goals last week without reply, which is not an ideal week. So, you know, I think we need five. I think we need five. But I think we'll get four. Win one, lose one, draw one. But you know, you'd take a defeat if you won the other two, to be fair, wouldn't you? So yeah, that's my answer to that question. Maybe I'm being optimistic. Maybe I'm being negative. Who knows?
There we go. Ollie signs off podcast. Oh, as always, thanks for your time. Salah fans, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, goodbye.